We are grateful to God, and I am aware of it, that we listened and that God's word has come into our hearts and that we understood what it is about, that everything belongs together, the word, the spirit, the teaching, the prophetic part, in fact everything what pertains to the counsel of God. Today, on this day of Pentecost, we cannot do otherwise but to read in Acts, in chapter 2, from verse 1 to 4. Acts, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Short and brief, the great event is being described here. In the plan of salvation, there is the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord. There is His ministry, His suffering, His dying, His resurrection, His ascension, and there is the great event of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we cannot only think on it that it happened, we have to strive for it, that it happens with us. We must have part in that what God has done, and make the same experiences which our brothers and sisters made with God at the beginning. Yesterday we read the word, look around, search for the old paths, and look for the way of salvation. Here it was shown to us. That's how God started the New Testament church. That's how He consecrated her. Until that day, the Lord spoke with His own, as we can read it here in chapter 1, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Beloved, today I would like to emphasize two or three things. We know on that day of Pentecost came suddenly a sound from heaven. But not only, even more. The sound was there, but this was not all. I read on. As of a rushing mighty wind, they must have seen and experienced the impact of this sound literally. It was not only a wind. With God, there is not just a wind. God was in this sound. It was the pre-stage of that, what took place from above and should come into the disciples. The sound of the wind was there, but not only the sound, more than wind was there. It says here, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. This was the introduction to this great supernatural event. Acoustically discernible, it could be experienced, a sound from heaven which came into the room. And to this sound of a wind followed more. God doesn't make only wind. May He forgive me if I said it here like this. With God, there is more than a sound. God fulfills His promises. He keeps His word. He reveals Himself to them who believed Him. And we can today count with it that we see at least the same result and make the same experience. In verse 3 it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. What was it? They must have seen, heard, and experienced. The men of God did not write or see that, what was in their imagination. They reported what truly was going on and what really happened there. It was a supernatural experience. It was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. If I today would knock over this vase, then the water would be poured out. It was an outpouring, not the speech, not the announcement. It was the fulfillment of the divine promise, as we read it in the scripture. John already announced it. I baptize you with water unto repentance. He who comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Here we see the development. A mighty rushing sound came from heaven and filled all the house. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. I'm thankful to God that for each one there was only one tongue, and I wished that all believers would only speak with one tongue, namely with a tongue that was penetrated by the divine fire, so that the great deeds of God can be proclaimed. Verily, God has done great things in our time, and I dare to speak it out by faith. He will do even greater things than he did. For the finishing, the crowning, the completion of the New Testament Church will come in power and glory. For this, God will take care of. It still continues. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A supernatural experience here on earth. Probably I was twice in the upper room in Jerusalem, and every time I was thinking on this event, today we are here. This can be our upper room. Today. Today we can experience God at this place. The crucifixion does not need to take place anymore. It took place. The resurrection does not have to be first. It happened already. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit must not first come. The Spirit of God was poured out upon all flesh. Today, we just have to take it by faith and to thank the Lord that it is also available for us. As we have part in every experience of salvation, and we can literally testify of it by a personal experience with God, so it is also with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Everybody must experience Christ as his personal Savior. Everybody who became a believer must go the biblical way through water baptism to make a covenant of a good conscience with God. And everybody must then make this experience of the infilling with the Holy Ghost. For us, a remembrance is not enough. We want to have and make the experience as it was given to our brethren. Here it is much more to it than meets the eye at first sight. I think one of the brothers expressed it. It is about the divine life that was laid into the church. And we read it in John 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Jesus Christ was divine life. It was even divine blood that was shed. This you can read in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. This is a wonderful word. Divine blood in a human body. For Christ, our Lord, was no less than God manifested in the shape of a man. Emmanuel, God with us. And you all know what is written in Leviticus 17, verse 11. Leviticus 17, verse 11. Here it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." It cannot be said more clear. In the divine blood of Jesus Christ, the full reconciliation with God took place. It was the great day of God's reconciliation with mankind. The people don't get lost because they have sinned. They get lost because they don't believe that their sin was forgiven and that the debt was paid for. It says, "The life is in the blood, and the atonement is worked by the life which is in the blood." It was divine life which pulsed in these veins. And beloved, in the moment when the redemption was finished, the divine life was set free to be able to come back upon the blood-bought flock. More than a rushing sound, more than a wind, more than cloven tongues like as of fire, more than speaking languages, the fullness of the divine life was put by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into the church. And this divine life we need, and this we can have today. We can today, at this place, have an experience with God as our brothers and our sisters there experienced it with God. I ask you now, why is it if we have not yet made the same experience? It cannot be due to God, for He has prepared everything. Everything what was necessary, He did for His part, for us. He called us, redeemed us, has given forgiveness. He pardoned us. He poured out His Spirit. He has given us His Word. What else can God still do? Now it is up to our faith that we, by faith, could thank our God that He didn't leave us as orphans. What did our Lord say? "I will not abandon you as orphans." Our God did not die. The Lord died. This I cannot explain now. But that what was human died. That what was God went down into the lower parts of the earth. And in the Spirit, the Lord conquered death, hell, and the devil, and rose on the third day from the dead. Therefore, Paul could write, "Death, where's your sting? Hell, where's thy victory?" Let us summarize it. On the day of Pentecost, God consecrated the church. This was the beginning. Everything else were preparations. The redemption took place, but they were scattered, and then they found together again after his resurrection. And the Lord taught them about the kingdom of God. But at Pentecost, the redeemed multitude was put together as the body of the Lord. Many members who make up one body, so that the ministry of the Lord by the power of the Spirit can be continued. And I believe if we could take God at His word today, then something supernatural would take place here. For a rushing sound, we don't need to wait. This happened only one single time. At all the other experiences in the book of Acts was only the one result. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, we can make the same experience with our God. I know many have experienced it and have nevertheless in their hearts a hunger, a thirst. They want to have more of God. Let us give up every resistance that may be in us. Let us take God at His word. Let us search for the old paths, for the ancient way that was tread at the beginning. And let us walk on it so that we can make the same experiences. In 1 John, there is written a wonderful word. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested. The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. The life of God was manifested. What we need spiritually is divine life in our soul. And we know man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. To us, much word of God proceeded. But now we must dare by faith to make the step and take God at His word without having an idea how it shall take place. Important is that we are not only here to hear what others have experienced with God, but that we are here to make our experience with God. How many have come with such a longing into these days and have come here today? A hymn writer sings, "Look at my longing, satisfy my longing." If our longing becomes so great that we just call out, "Lord, I can't walk on anymore unless you fill me with the Holy Ghost. Beloved, it must come to the point not only to read what took place and what others experienced, but personally experiencing it. For thus it is written, if that power that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in us, then also our mortal bodies shall be quickened. What was with Enoch? He walked with God. He had the word of God, and he was taken away. In the word of God, in the spirit of God, is the power of God, the life of God, that wants to be manifested, that wants to have an impact. The word must be able to accomplish for what it was sent for, and the Spirit comes upon those who have heard the word of the divine promise and confirms the promise by the personal experience in every individual. And that's why we are here today, not only to hear, but to experience, to receive. A longing is here. Are we in one accord gathered in the name of the Lord? Do we have nothing against each other? Have we set things right with God? Can we step into His presence? Beloved, let us do it as it has to be done. Let us lay everything before the Lord and let us believe that He has made the damage well. Let us believe what He said, I have redeemed you. I have called you by thy name. You are mine. And I say to you, if you wholeheartedly can speak out the sentence, Lord, I thank you. You redeemed me. You have forgiven me. You have accepted me. You have pardoned me. I may be yours for time and for eternity. In that moment, when you confess this with your mouth, because you believe it with all your heart, you get inwardly free. You get happy. The peace of God, which is higher than all understanding of men, enters then into your soul. And then the scripture is fulfilled, you shall find rest for your soul. The rest of God. There is a rest for the people of God. In this world, everything goes upside down. Haste and hurry and many more things. But God has people on the earth who are not pulled away with a zeitgeist. People who prove themselves here on earth as children of God. And as our brother said at the beginning, let us step on this way for a walk and life with God. May God make such people out of us who walk in His ways, who do His will, who are available for Him, on whom could be fulfilled that we have become something for the praise of His wonderful grace. That's how our brother read it. He who wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord. Not the wise man in his wisdom and not the rich man in his richness, but he who wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord. Wisdom will be left behind, riches also, and everything else. But that what God has worked in us, we will be able to take it with us. Yes, it will lift us up. As I said many times, first we carry the promise, and then the promise carries us. God carries those who believe Him and who trust Him, who received His word as the divine promise in them. Let us not look on us, not at one another, not on circumstances, not on sicknesses or afflictions. Let us look today up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. All who look on Him will not be put to shame. Who put their trust in Him will not be disappointed. If it was already sufficient in the days of Moses that all who were bitten by the fiery serpents and who would have died, when they then looked upon the serpent of brass, they were made whole. What shall happen today with us if we, who we were all tricked by the old serpent, born in sin, without hope and without God being in this world? But now we are those who are nigh, having been reconciled with God and pardoned by Him. What shall happen with us if we today see Jesus by faith on the cross? Then we are made whole in the same hour, as the German hymn goes. Today, we not only want to have heard and maybe wistfully think, at that time they could so wonderfully experience it with God. Let us believe it today, that this experience is for you and for me available here. We don't need to use violence. The Spirit of God was poured out. If we now make the same experience, then it is the same as with a crucifixion. Jesus Christ is once for all crucified and died and buried and rose on the third day. There will be no other crucifixion. And so it is with the Pentecostal experience. The Holy Spirit was poured out. It is a divine fact in the plan of salvation. Let us receive in us, as the earthy Adam received the breath of life, and suddenly he stood upon his feet. He could speak, he could see, he could walk. Everything functioned. The body of the Lord, the various members are here. But only when divine life comes into the church and we are placed upon our feet of faith, only then everything will function divinely and smoothly. I wait for it, and I believe that God will give it. For as it was at the beginning, so it must be at the end. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is Him who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Today, I have one request, that we come into the presence of God with thanksgiving, with praise and worship, not with asking and begging, but with thanksgiving, coming before the throne of grace of our God. And you will see what is written will be fulfilled. He who offers thanks, he praises me. And this is the way of salvation which I show to him. That is how our way with God starts. In believing and in trusting in him and in the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit came upon the redeemed flock at that time. And the same Holy Spirit comes now upon the redeemed flock. By grace we can count ourselves among them. In the Spirit of God is the power of God, life of God. Everything is contained in it. May it be given to us in worship to be able to thank the Lord today by faith. Just try it once, and may it be today that we together in worship and praise come before the presence of God. And you will see that God stands to his word and that he will fill us. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Amen. We want to be richly blessed today, right? We are here in great expectation. And God will not disappoint us. Also this, we understood very well what was read to us. Take heed how you hear. And to it the word from Matthew 13 from verse 51. Matthew 13 verse 51. There the Lord asks, have ye understood all these things? In the one word, the weight is laid on hearing. In the second, it is asked, have ye understood all these things? They replied, yes. How wonderful to understand the Lord in his sayings. And I ask us, which attitude would we have if the Lord could very personally speak with us as if we would see him? But that's how he speaks with us, although we don't see him. For his word remains his word, and what he said then is still valid today. Have ye understood all these things? They replied, yes. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe who is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. A very wonderful word. We hear here of a school of the kingdom of heaven, not of scribes who sit at the feet of a Gamaliel, but of people who were taught by God, as the Holy Scripture says it. Not one will teach the other, but they all will be taught by God. The Holy Spirit takes us into the school of God and reveals unto us the Word of God. Perhaps to me, in this connection, is permitted the remark, as long as the message was preached in connection with translations into all languages, there was absolutely no confusion. everything was smooth, it was in lockstep, and everywhere was blessing and joy. Only since that time, when brothers wanted to be something and wanted their own opinions to be forced on others a bit, since that time, many troubles have come up. But one thing we may say here, with all certainty, without presumption, all interpretations will pass away, but God's word remains forever. And we believe God's original word, and we renounce in favor of others on all interpretations, no matter how good they are wrong anyway. And then comes to fulfillment what was read to us. There will be people from whom will be taken that away what they thought they had in their pious imagination. But there are also people who were led from clarity to clarity, from knowledge to knowledge, step by step. And it is being constantly added to them. Is that right? I believe we can all look back on a spiritual growth and see how the Lord has revealed unto us His word, His mysteries, just step by step. From this, we recognize that we have received something from God, for it was added unto us. To the divine, divine things have been added. And you all know, it is written, to virtue add, until the perfect man is here, in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this we say with Paul, if I didn't apprehend it yet, but I follow after, for I am apprehended of Christ. We not only have heard something or believed something, we heard God's word and believed God's word. When we sing the chorus, according to our firm belief, it will happen. Then we have to emphasize that our faith is not hovering around somewhere in the universe, but our faith is firmly anchored in the promises of God. And because our faith is anchored in these promises, we have not only the right, but the privilege to know what God promised, this will take place. For the scripture cannot be broken. As certain as everything was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, what was written in reference to Him, so certain everything will be fulfilled on the body of the Lord in the redeemed that was promised to us. With the adding, I must automatically think on Brother Branham and on the 7th of May 1946, when the angel of the Lord came into his room, he saw the light at around 23 hours, and he saw how from this light a man came out. He saw the steps on the floor, and he saw the angel who spoke to him. You all know his life story. And then the angel said, two signs will be given to you, as to the prophet Moses were given two signs. Firstly, you will receive a sign, namely, on your hand. you all know, should put his hand into his bosom, and it was full of leprosy. And the people have seen it. He should put it back again, and the leprosy was gone. This was the first sign. And the angel said, to you will be given two signs. The first is therein that you take the hand of the patient for whom you pray and lay it into your hand, and that the patient can see on your hand his own sickness. And Brother Branham took only the hand of the patient, and they shouldn't close their eyes, they should just watch whether cancer, whether tumor, whether blastoma, every sickness which is caused by some kind of germ, actually a demon, for everything what has life in it is not a sickness, but was called into existence by a demon. This Brother Branham also said very clearly. But to stick with the topic here, during the years 46, 47 and 48, Brother Branham exclusively operated this gift. Hundreds of thousands of people have watched it and experienced it. And then since 49, the second gift was added, that to him the thoughts of the hearts and all the details of the people for whom he prayed were revealed. And since that time he then also suffered, because he continuously saw visions. But as long as he only ministered with the first sign, he, until 2-3 o'clock in the morning, he prayed for hundreds of people without getting weak. Only when the visions set in, he says, one vision has taken more strength from out of his body than 1 hour preaching. This is supernatural. And this body cannot yet endure the supernatural. But I just wanted to emphasize this thought. God has added. And the angel told him then, if they don't believe the first sign, then they will have to believe the second sign. Can you grasp it, that the angel mentioned to Brother Branham John chapter 1, literally, that he mentioned to him John 4, literally, and explained to him the same sign that at that time Christ had, the sign of the Messiah, that he could say to Nathanael, before Philip called you, I have seen you under the fig tree. And Nathanael was surprised and asked, since when do you know me? You know the story. And he fell on his face and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the King of Israel. He could, when Andrew brought Simon, the Lord could say, verily, an Israelite in whom is no guile. And you all know, he could say to Simon, your name is Simon, and the name of your father is Jonah. And it was done with Peter. All these examples, the angel explained to Brother Branham on the 7th of May, 1946. Also that of the woman at the well. And he said, this sign happened with Jews and Gentiles at the end of their time, with Jews and Samaritans. But now is our time, namely the end for the church from the nations. By it, it was the last sign for the church that the secrets of the hearts end of the word that the whole counsel of God had to be proclaimed. We are to the Lord very thankful. Also this he was told with Abraham and Sarah. We marvel at it. Why, Brother Branham, at every healing service, over and again, emphasized the same scriptures and the same events. Check it out in the sermons. Listen to it on the tapes. This he has done because the angel was pointing him to it. At that time, when Christ had this sign, the Pharisees said, he has the Beelzebub. He is of the devil. And the Lord said, every sin is forgiven to men, but the sin against the Holy Ghost, not. In these days, in our generation, the same God has worked in the same way, and people have sinned. But there are also such who received and accepted, and to them we may belong. Blessed be the name of the Lord.